Good morning, everyone. Welcome to House Call. We are here this morning in beautiful summer. I hope it's summer. It was like 40 degrees yesterday when I was biking. I felt like, gosh, what's going on to Idaho? Well, welcome to House Call. We are excited to bring you another exciting show. We are live this morning from the campus of Idaho State University. And, you know, I woke up at 5 in the morning. I always like to introduce my guests, but then something changes my mind. It's like, I woke up at 5 in the morning. And my brother had mentioned last week to watch this documentary on Netflix. And I started watching it. And this was about Mayo Clinic. It was about how Dr. Mayo, WW, and his two boys, both surgeons, back in late 1890 or something, how they set the foundation and a vision for a healthcare delivery model, which was very unique back in the days. Mostly about collaborating, because prior to that, physicians were just individuals, right? They'll do their thing, they'll hold their art really close to themselves, they won't talk and tell anyone else about what they're trying to do. And it was a very different system, and it's amazing. I mean, I'm still halfway through it, but it truly is about collaboration and how different healthcare providers come together for the benefit of the patient. Well, our discussion this morning is not very different. I'm very excited to welcome both of you, Tracy McCulloch and Allison Palmer. You both work with Southeastern Idaho Health Department, or I mean truly called Southeastern Idaho Public Health Services, mm-hmm. right?
That's right?
And Tracy, you're the Community Health Director, and Allison, you're the Clinical Services Director. Why don't we start with you, Allison? Welcome on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and let's dive into the services you guys provide, because there's a lot of resources, not only the community, but even physicians and providers like myself. We're not aware of the services and expanse of things that you guys provide. So let's dive into it and see where we go with it.
Okay, sounds good. So our clinical services, we have a variety of services, and we do immunizations. We give those for both adult and children. So with our children vaccinations, we work with our state and we receive, it's called VFC, Vaccines for Children. So we can provide those to children at a lower cost. And then we also have private pay immunizations for adults. And then we also do family planning. So we have a Title 10 program where we provide regular comprehensive reproductive services to both men and women. We do pregnancy testing, annual exams, provide contraceptives, and then counseling and education as needed. We also have our STD HIV prevention program. So we do a lot of HIV and STD testing, and then counseling and referrals as needed as well. We do have some different services that are not necessarily contracted or funded by our state, and those are just to help our community. So we do like things like lead testing, and we monitor tuberculosis infections. We also do like immunization titers, so making sure that people are actually have their immunizations up to date and that they are immune to those different diseases. And then we also do treat thyroid disorders, and we do some basic obesity evaluations and smoking cessation management as well.
Wow, that's a pretty large spectrum of diseases or services that you guys provide. Let's start with vaccination in children. Mm-hmm. This is a hot topic nowadays, right? why don't we just get it that we need to protect our children and other kids? Idaho, obviously, we are seeing a big surge across the nation, but definitely in states like Idaho, the vaccination rates and the upsurge of some of these diseases which were eradicated in the past. Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to say on that?
Well, it's very interesting. We actually had an immunization conference last week, and one of the speakers she brought that to light about, you know, why certain families do not vaccinate. And a lot of it came down to the complexity of personal decision and doing what's best for your child, and how there can be a mother's intuition that would lead her to maybe not vaccinate her child for whatever particular reason. And so that was kind of an interesting discussion that she led, and how she kind of helped informed us how, you know, instead of making assumptions about families and why they're not vaccinating, that we need to kind of approach the topic with them a little bit differently and be very mindful of, you know, how we promote vaccinations to them, making sure that they feel like their decisions are respected and that they're still cared for, even if they choose not to vaccinate. So it talked a little bit about just how we educate our parents and families on why vaccinations are important.
Well, that's great. Now, in regards to vaccination also, do you guys have, you had mentioned education and community outreach. Mm-hmm. What kind of programs do you guys support or have in the community which helps educate the masses on the need for vaccination?
Right. So we do a lot of different vaccination campaigns. So we actually did one just recently in February for HPV. Mm-hmm. And that's also help funded by our state contracts. So we do different vaccination campaigns like that throughout the entire year. We also work very in partnership with our providers. And so we go out and educate them and help them maintain proper vaccine storage protocols and making sure that they're up to date on giving the vaccinations, you know, any changes that may come up. We also do some education outreach we do like our WIC providers and a couple of different other people in the community. So there's a lot of education that goes on all year round from our services.
And how do patients reach to you or the community members? I mean, obviously they're people have their primary care providers and now, you know, Walmart or CVS is offering vaccinations. Who should come to you guys? I mean, I know I've been there every time before my travels. I knock the door and get myself up to date in a few things. And you guys provide great service at very reasonable cost. Mm-hmm. So how do you promote your services to what population and how should they reach to you guys?
I think we promote our immunizations to our whole population because we want people to get immunized. But as far as specific promotions, we do, you know, have the vaccines for children. So that's kind of a lower rate cost for children, and so that's why we do kind of promote, making sure that people that are uninsured or underinsured can come up to see us for our vaccines.
That's great. Well, I also want to touch base with you guys on another topic, which is reproductive health. And recently, I was made aware of another term called reproductive justice. Which is truly a balance between women's right to choose versus the education about the need for reproductive health, because there seems to be a gap between, you know, getting pregnant and what people learn and know about pregnancies and the care at that point. So what kind of services do you guys offer in that regard and how?
Yeah, so our services are for both men and women, and we provide a lot of counseling and education on family planning to either if people want to get pregnant or if they are trying to prevent pregnancy. So a lot of our education is surrounded around contraceptives, also just practicing safe sex, and then also like annual exams. So we definitely do a lot of education around why those exams are so important and encourage people to get those on a regular or at their needed times.
And as far as the coverage areas, so you guys are located whereabouts in Eastern Idaho? I know you guys are in Pocatello.
Yeah, so we have an office here in Pocatello, and then we have an office in each of our counties here in Southeastern Idaho. So we have one in Montpelier, Soda Springs, Blackfoot, Power County, so out in American Falls, Franklin County, that's in Preston, and then our Oneida County office is in Malad. Our Caribou office is in Soda Springs, and like I said, our Bear Lake office is actually in Montpelier.
Okay. Allison, what else would you like to share with our listeners?
We just would like you to come see us, come check out our Facebook page, make sure to like us on Facebook. We definitely have a wide variety of services that we can offer you and your families.
Well, the services you guys definitely provide, from vaccination to reproductive health and overall wellness, there seems to be a big need, especially when you mention the communities which are either underinsured or uninsured, right? Mm-hmm. So are you changing any, are you witnessing any change in people's reception? Are you seeing more people be willing to come and see you guys over the years for these things? Are providers like us being more aware that you're out there and promote patients to go and see CADA?
Yeah, we are trying to definitely build our partnerships with other primary care providers and making sure that they're aware that we do provide those services to lower income individuals. And I think that it kind of just ebbs and flows. Sometimes we have more patients come in, and sometimes we don't have as many patients come in. It just kind of depends on the season and depends on the service. But we definitely like to partner and get our name out there and work with everybody in the community as a team.
Well, that sounds great. And what is, if over the next couple of years, what are your real vision, where you wanted to see grow, and what are the added stuff that you'd like to change and see?
Yeah, so we're actually talking about expanding some of the services that we provide right now. So here in the future, we'd like to offer more access to PrEP, which is a medication for HIV. And then we're also talking about doing a little bit more tuberculosis visits that are a little bit more specific, not just treatment, but, you know, a little bit more management. We're interested in some genetic counseling stuff as well. So I think that there's definitely some different things on the horizon that we are looking to expand and hopefully can do so in the future.
Well, Allison, thank you so much for being on the show. You're the Clinical Services Director for Southeastern Idaho Public Health. We're going to take a quick break, and then after the break, we're going to be back with Tracy.
Try streaming our signal at KISU.org, or simply tell your Amazon or Google smart speaker to play KISU. Remember, even when our FM signal is out, KISU continues streaming live online.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to House Call. We are here with Tracy and Allison. They're both serving at Southeastern Idaho Public Health. And it's amazing as we get to meet people and learn about the amazing services that are available in our community. I think both as a community member, as well as providers and physicians, we need to learn more about them because our patients can definitely benefit from it. Tracy, obviously, I can read this. You cover a large area and a lot of services which are really, really needed. Why don't you tell us more about what you guys are doing and the vision and how us physicians can help with your mission and vision?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm the Community Health Director at Southeastern Idaho Public Health, which is located here in Pocatello on 1901 Alvin Ricken Drive. And like Allison said too, we have offices in seven other counties in our health district. So we're Health District 6. And in community health, I have a variety of programs that I oversee. And I think a lot of people don't realize all the programs that we do have at Southeastern Idaho Public Health. So in community health, I oversee health promotion, and we'll talk about all those programs in health promotion. Also public health preparedness, epidemiology, and our home visitation program. So we have health educators, we have our epidemiologists that coordinate these programs. So the funds that we receive for these programs are from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare state funds, which they receive funds from the federal government. So with these programs, we work with a variety of populations. We work from, you know, youth all the way up to seniors. I also teach an arthritis exercise class at Southeastern Idaho Public Health on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then we also have our fit and fall proof classes, which are for seniors as well.
You know, I mean, there's definitely a pretty large spectrum of things that you guys cover. Tell me more about Fit and Fall Proof program, because that's something which is very close to me, because we serve the patient population that is at high risk for falls. And I see a lot of aftermath. We do so much after the fall, but we fail to do so much before the fall.
Yeah.
Tell me more about it.
Yeah. And again, with health promotion, we really are focusing on prevention. So just by the name of the class two, it's falls, fit, and fall prevention. So we actually train. We have a health education specialist who coordinates trainings. So we have volunteers who sign up to participate in these trainings to teach these fit and fall proof classes to seniors. So the whole idea behind these classes is to prevent falls. So they're building up their strength, their stability, and their balance to prevent falls from occurring.
And they get to participate at your locations.
Yes. So there are, we have fit and fall proof classes in almost each one of our counties in our health district. We do have an active class here in Pocatello at the Senior Citizen Center. If people want more information about the falls prevention program, they can visit our website, which is cifidaho.org, or they can call the health department at 233-9080.
So 233-9080. I think this is a great program.
And it's free. The classes are free.
This is great because, I was in talks with my staff the other week on how we can create something like this. But if it's already there, this is even better.
Yeah.
I would love to send our patient that way.
Great.
Let's also talk about drug abuse prevention program. Tell me more about that.
There's
such a huge burden we have.
Yes.
Right now.
So this is exciting. We just received the funds in October for this program, and it's a 4-year grant from the Office of Drug Policy. And for our area, we're focusing on meth and alcohol prevention among youth. So we're going to be working with community partners. We just sent people to a training called Strengthening Families. So we will be offering that class in the fall to families. And then also we're going to be partnering with Chauvin High School, and we're going to be providing a class called Life Skills Training. And so we're going to be able to provide services and programs that without this grant we wouldn't be able to. So again, like you said, there is a need in our area. We've seen an increase with the use of opioids. We also have a program at the health department too that focuses on that as well. And that's the nice thing with health promotion is that, again, we are able to focus on and prevent health issues that in the other areas the health department might not be able to. Health promotion really focuses on prevention.
No, this is great. And this is primarily focusing on youth and families so they can enroll in the programs and learn more about what are they learning?
Yeah. Tell me more. So, well, there is actually a campaign called Be the Parents campaign, and they can go ahead and visit the website. It's called betheparents.org and learn how to talk to their children about alcohol and drugs. And again, in health promotion, we encourage people to have those conversations. So with any health topic, you just approach it like wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
Yeah, the reasons why we wear a seatbelt, the reason why we wear a helmet when we ride our bike. So with any health topic, so with drugs and alcohol, we encourage parents and we provide them with the skills and the resources to talk to their children about why it's important not to use them.
You know, let me give out a number. It's 282-4555. Did I say an extra five? Actually, there are only three fives. So 282-4555. I'm so glad you mentioned the helmet. I had a bad accident yesterday. I mean, it was like a somersault 3 times on my mountain bike. And the only thing I was laying on the ground was, I'm so glad I'm wearing my helmet.
Yes.
You know, you gotta protect your noggin there. This is great. Suicide prevention program. Tell me more about that.
Yes. So this is another one. We have a high suicide rate in Southeast Idaho.
We're the highest in the state.
And the health districts don't have any funds to focus on suicide prevention. So our Board of Health decided that we could go ahead and put some of our dollars into suicide prevention, which we thought was very important. So we have a suicide prevention program coordinator, and this program just started in February. Just started,
really?
Yes. So she actually is providing education and training to the community on suicide and also providing resources to community members. So if there are people out there who are interested in having her come and do a training, right now she's doing the QPR training, which is question, persuade, and refer to community organizations. Again, they can call the health department. It's 233-9080 and go ahead and schedule one. Her name is Rhonda D'Amico, and she's highly qualified. She does a great job already. I mean, again, this should start in February. She's been so busy providing these trainings because we know there's a huge need in our area for this.
There's definitely a huge need. So how are these training programs coordinated or structured? I mean, yeah. Rhonda goes out to different events or communities or schools or families. How does this structure?
Yeah, so she, anytime anybody contacts her, she schedules the training. So she goes to them. Again, this is a service that we provide to all of our counties. So they would contact her, and she would schedule a date and a time and to come out and do the training. They're usually they're free. Every once in a while, we might have to charge a fee for the books, but the books, it's a minimal fee of like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
But again, it's something that we know is needed in our area. And so, if anybody's interested, please just give us a call.
Or if any community organization or members are interested in just, you know, creating a town hall meeting, invite members and invite Rhonda and help fund a, you know, simple event.
Yep.
That would be great,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Because you're right. We need to do, I mean, this is definitely a big need in our community. Wow, there's a lot of stuff you guys do. Where are we? Yeah, the diaper bank program. What's there?
Yeah, so this program we started a little over 2 years ago, and there is a diaper bank in Boise. And we work with the diaper bank in Boise, and they provide us with diapers to give to low-income families in our area. We also do fundraising because there's only so many diapers that the diaper bank in Boise can provide to us. So just to give you an idea, we last month gave out 7,000 diapers.
Wow, really?
And that's in our a county health district. So again, if there are families out there that need diapers, they can go to any of our offices. So in any of the eight county offices, and we'll provide them with diapers for the month. So
and that's obviously free of cost.
It is. It's free. Wow. And again, we gave 7,000 diapers away. So we do fundraisers usually in around the holidays in December, and then also another one in February on Valentine's Day. But if there's people out there who would like to donate to our program, they can go ahead and contact Dana Solomon at the health department. Again, 233-9080. And they can donate to our program.
You know, this is great. I've raised three kids. Oh, my wife and I. It wasn't me alone, actually. I probably played the least part. But my oldest, 17. But 15 years ago when I was buying diapers, gosh, it was one of the most expensive item on the list of when we went go out grocery shopping. So any of our listeners out there, if you guys are out there and want to help and you're out there grocery shopping, and even if you have no kids at home, just buy an extra pack and can just drop it off.
They can bring them up to the health department. Yes.
I would love to do that, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a great program. Yeah. And we don't realize the need that's out there. The reason I brought this up is that I saw an ad the other day, and I wasn't sure where I was going, but it was talking about the diaper bank, and I was curious what that meant, but it makes so much sense now. You guys obviously invest a lot of time and effort in heart disease, diabetes, and stroke prevention program. What do those programs look like?
Yeah, so we have a health education specialist who coordinates the programs. So she works with a coalition and works with clinics to get the information out there. She also, every year, holds a big event. It's called Love Yourself Healthy. It's usually in February that she provides education and resources to the public on heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. She also provides a class twice a year. She works with ISU dietetic students to teach the class, and it's a healthy diabetes class, and it's a free class. So another great service that we provide, because our diabetes rate is high in our area as well. It continues to rise along with, you know, the obesity rates as well. So, yeah, again, if anybody's interested, they can go ahead and call. The class is held twice a year. It's a free class. The Love Yourself Healthy event, too, is free. We hold it at our health department on 1901 Alvin Ricken Drive. And again, that event is held in February.
Well, Tracy, I myself, educated. I mean, I must tell you that if there's any healthcare need for people out there, all you got to do is to call 233-9080. And I can assure you, you'll find one or other program that might fit your need for sure. Physical activity and nutrition is very dear to me. After spending 20 years in healthcare, I've realized we got to go back to the basics. It's not about the drugs, it's about lifestyle, right? There was a program that I participated a few years ago. It used to be called, and I'm not sure who sponsored it, Walk with Your Doc or Walk the Doc. Mm-hmm. Not the dog, but the doc. You can bring the dog with you, but the doc. And it was really fun because we would go out as physicians. Many community members will show up at a certain park at a specific time. We would take a nice stroll and walk, answer questions, very interactive, and we all got a lot out of it. I would love to see things like that. Just to bring the providers and the community together.
So we actually, since you bring that up, we actually hold a fun run every year on Mother's Day.
Oh, really?
To do that. Ah. We want families to come out on Mother's Day and participate in physical activity. So this is an event that we're going on our 12th year.
Oh, wow.
And it's
really?
Held on Mother's Day. We're going to have it up at the health department this year on 1901 Alvin Ricken Drive. So people can go ahead and register. They can go to our website or they can call us to participate in the fun run. So it's the Mama Me Fun Run.
Well, that's awesome. As a father, I feel a little left out, but we got to do something on
Father's
Day, right?
Everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we all will come.
Everybody's
out.
Invited.
Well, this is great. I just want to summarize Tracy and Allison, the services that you get. I mean, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. So there are about 7 public health districts in the state of Idaho, in pretty much all our counties. Tracy Guest covered an unbelievable amount of services for healthcare needs in our community, so I encourage people to visit your website, which is SIPIdaho, SIPIdaho.org, or the cell phone number is 233-9080. Once again, thank you so much for being on the show. We look forward to having you guys again.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.